The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this is a powerful passage. Of course, you know it is it's the conclusion of the fifth of five teaching blocks of Jesus, and he's leaving us off here. Right before the action that then takes him to his death. So yeah, it's a passage of real kind of primary significance for us. So I think getting it right, reading it right, is probably also a terribly important task. One of the challenges is that I don't know how familiar we are with, say, the history of interpretation of this passage, but I think we've probably all heard one particular reading, because this the passage, especially the caring for the bodily needs of others, right, giving food, drink, welcome, clothing, and then visiting the ill and the imprisoned, forms what we call the corporal works of mercy. Yeah, so the corporal works of mercy are derived in some part from this passage, and they're all well and good. The challenge is, of course, that this passage is not about the corporal works of mercy. So it's like, okay, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. The passage undergirding the corporal works of mercy, but that's not really what the passage is about. Let's look at what the passage is about, because, say, I want to move us from that context where we think, okay, corporal works of mercy, and that's what we have to do. And I want to come back and show a little bit of the tension there in that reading and a proper interpretation of this passage, and then what we're to do in light of, say, a better interpretation of this passage. So look at the two groups of people, if you will, just for a second. We can think of what they have in common. We can think of what's different between them. What they have in common is this: neither recognizes the king. Okay, this should be our first tip off. Yeah, that something something quite profound is going on behind the passage, because usually we think, okay, well, I just want to end up on the right, and whatever about the left. Yeah, I don't want to be on the left. Yes, yeah, so sometimes we choose our places in the church, like right and left, depending on what you think the right is. Your right, is it your right or is it my right? Do you know this is the eternal question, I think, in the parish. Whose right counts? We want to end up on the right side. This is our thought. But what I'm saying is, neither side knows the king. Is that you? It's not you. Okay, sorry. Yeah, that was kind of rhetorical, but then I realized, that might be an open question. No, neither group is you, because you recognize the king. Do you know? You know Jesus intimately, personally. Because, let me jump the gun a little bit and say, precisely because we are his body, we are they who not only acknowledge, but also give our lives over to the reality that Jesus is King now, right? We are living by his Spirit now. He indwells us now by his Spirit. We know him intimately. So we're not going to find ourselves in a position, whether now or at the time of our death or at the time of Jesus' return, where we're going to say, oh, when did we do that? Or when did we do that in relation to you? Because we know that we live totally for the King. So we'll do everything for him. And we know him, right, personally, intimately. So both of these groups know. They don't know him. Yeah? And so what we see then is Jesus taking what is really well-worn territory in the Israel of his time, the judgment of nations, and he's redrawing the story around himself. So in the judgment of nations, as it appears in, say, the scriptures and writings of the time, is, okay, Israel is living to the call of God, and all the while they're being, I don't know, say, to put it somewhat nicely, or to tone it down a little bit, they're being kind of roughly treated by the people around them. But they then have hope that God will vindicate them, especially their suffering. So they say, okay, well, we will endure following God. We will endure what comes our way as a result of our following God and living to God's plan and purpose. And he will sort the rest out. He'll sort the nations out. And they will be judged on the way that they treat us. Yeah, so Jesus carries this idea into his new Israel project. So he'll say, yes, in fact, I will judge the nations of the world. I will judge the non-new Israel people. And the way that I will judge them is how they have treated my new Israel people. Okay? So we're in a bit of an interesting space there, because we say, okay, we might start to get big heads on the point and say, well, okay, yeah, I'm just going to do my thing and I'm good. And if that guy treats me poorly, well, he's going to go to hell. So this is, that guy's condemned. Okay. Like, and all the people are, we can make it a little bit bigger and say, okay, well, we're the church. We're just doing our thing. And then anybody who treats us roughly, they're condemned and, to hell with them. Okay. Well, of course, that will never be the appropriate stance. Sorry to say that, people. That will never be the appropriate stance, because if we're living as the true church of God, then we're living out God's total for the otherness, which means we care deeply for the other, right? So anytime we turn around and say, well, yeah, that guy can just go to hell, right? We know that we're the ones probably who are pulling down the justice of God on ourselves, because we're not living to his plan. Because this is the challenge, right, is to say, okay, well, the people on the outside of the Jesus movement will be judged by how they treat the Jesus movement. That's point one. But point two is that the people on the inside of the Jesus movement have to live as Jesus today. So the challenge then is not that, we work down a list of, say, the corporal works of mercy, good though they are, yeah? And if you don't know where to start, say, being charitable or reflecting God's radical generosity in your life, then sure, go to the corporal works of mercy. That's a pretty good start, but it's not the end of it for us. We've been called into a radical relationship with God, right? A relationship with God that goes to the roots and renews us whole and entire so that we can be truly members of the body of Christ. Yeah, so and living as his body, we then are advancing the plan and purpose of God in everything we do, right? In every human endeavor, in everything we think and say and do. Yeah, that's our challenge. Our challenge is to be totally ruled by Christ, who is King now, who rules us in an immediate way. In fact, the inauguration of the kingdom of God has happened in Paschal mystery, right? It's Jesus' death and resurrection, his ascension, and then his sending of the Spirit. Where is he sending the Spirit? Now, I see, I don't know. I get it, it's early, people. I just get louder and louder until something happens. Yeah. Where is he sending the Spirit? into you. So this is the primary way by which Jesus now rules the world. So your task is massive there. You have to advance the justice of God. The justice of God that comes about only by charity, only by radical generosity. Right? You get to do the thing. You get to do the Jesus thing, which is to trust and follow him in all things. In fact, we really ought to spend more time, both, you know, in our kind of focused meditative time in the morning, our extended prayer time, and also then throughout the day to say, okay, Jesus, you're the king. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do here. I'm most dangerous when I think I know what to do, you know, but sometimes I just have no idea what to do. What you would have me do, and I need to ask. There are other questions that serve as proxies for that immediate rule of Christ. And it's things like this. Okay, God, okay, Jesus, show me what will give God the glory, right? How can I live out this life of praise? How do I honor God in this thing, in this time, in this place now? Show me, right? And then also give me the strength to do what you reveal to me. Another way is to look at it and say, okay, show me what is the most loving thing to do here? What is the most loving thing to do? Because this is how we enact the rule of Christ. And then again, having revealed it to me, give me the strength to do it. Because I'm sure I will lack it. I'm sure I will lack the strength. And so have Jesus, the good shepherd king, leading and guiding us, giving us strength and sustenance, and here even protecting us. This might not seem like protection, because we go out in all vulnerability to love the world into life, and we might face abuse as a result of that. Please God that it's a result of that, and not just because we're jerks, okay? There's a big difference, right? We want people to treat us well or poorly as a result of our bringing the life and love of Jesus to bear. Okay, so we go out in vulnerability. We entrust ourselves and the mission totally to Jesus. So we can just focus on him and doing what he wills, what he wants. And he, as revealed here, will take care of the rest. So ours to give ourselves away recklessly to reflect the radical generosity of God and let God, you know, work everything else out.